Horatio. Oh, where, my lord? Hamlet. In my mind's eye, Horatio. William Shakespeare. Every Tuesday, with the regularity of traffic jams on I-405, the UCLA Department of Psychiatry holds grand rounds, at which an invited researcher presents an hour-long seminar on a topic of clinical relevance. One afternoon in the late 1980s, I saw, posted on a bulletin board at the Neuropsychiatric Institute, an announcement that stopped me cold. One of the nation's leading behavior therapists was scheduled to discuss her high-profile and hugely influential work with obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, the subject of my own research as a neuropsychiatrist. OCD is a condition marked by a constant barrage of intrusive thoughts and powerful urges, most typically to wash, because patients are often bombarded with thoughts about being dirty and contaminated with deadly pathogens, and to check, because of irresistible urges to make sure an appliance has not been left on or a door left unlocked, or to satisfy oneself that something else is not amiss. I had a pretty good idea of what to expect. The speaker was widely known in medical circles for her application of rigorous behaviorist principles to psychological illnesses. Rigorous, actually, hardly did the behaviorist approach justice. The very first paragraph of the very first paper that formally announced the behaviorist creed, John B. Watson's 1913 classic, Psychology as the Behaviorist Views It, managed in a single throw-down-the-gauntlet statement to deny man's humanity, to dismiss the significance of a mind capable of reflection, and to deny implicitly the existence of free will. The behaviorist, declared Watson, recognizes no dividing line between man and brute. Rarely in the 75 years since Watson has a secular discipline adhered so faithfully to a core principle of its founder. Behaviorists, ignoring the gains of the cognitive revolution that had been building momentum and winning converts throughout the 1980s, continued to believe that there is no need for a therapist to acknowledge a patient's inner experiences while attempting to treat, say, a psychological illness such as a phobia. Rather, this school holds that all desired changes in behavior can be accomplished by systematically controlling relevant aspects of a patient's environment, much as one would train a pigeon to peck particular keys on a keyboard by offering it rewards to reinforce correct behavior and punishments to reverse incorrect behavior. The Grand Rounds speaker, faithfully following the principles of behaviorist theory, had championed a particular method to treat obsessive-compulsive disorder known as exposure and response prevention. Exposure and response prevention, or ERP, was a perfect expression of behaviorist tenets. In ERP therapy sessions, as routinely practiced, the OCD patient is almost completely passive. The therapist presents the patient with triggers of varying intensity. If, for instance, an OCD patient is terrified of bodily secretions and feels so perpetually contaminated by them that he washes himself compulsively, then the therapist exposes him to those very bodily products. The patient first ranks the level of distress various objects cause. Touching a doorknob in the therapist's office, which the patient believes is covered with germs spread by people who haven't washed after using the bathroom, might rate a 50. Touching a paper towel dropped in the sink of a public restroom might rate a 65. A sweaty t-shirt, 75. Toilet seats at a gym, 90. A dollop of feces or urine, 100. Presenting one of these triggers constitutes the exposure, the first half of the process. In the second half, the response prevention, the therapist keeps the patient from reacting to the trigger with compulsive behaviors, in this example, washing. Instead of allowing him to run to a sink, the therapist waits for the intensity of the patient's distress to return to pre-exposure levels. During this waiting period, the patient is typically quite passive but hardly calm or relaxed. Quite the contrary. Patients suffer unpleasant, painful, intense anxiety in the face of the triggers, anxiety that can take hours to dissipate. The theoretical basis of the approach, to the extent that there